Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, who needs strikers or centre-backs or Josip Bartomeu? Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday the 28th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
No Vish today, guys, so we've got something even better for you, Brassel. Hello.
You've got something even better for me. I am me. It's not for me.
Well, the best thing for you is to just be sitting here with us, I imagine.
Bottom line, I'm his fish.
Well, you probably better had, because you're going to take a lot of the old Vish sticks in that chair, and I very much look forward to it.
It will be an honour.
Yeah, you've come straight from... You haven't slept, have you? You've come straight from the BT chairs.
Yeah, that's right. It goes all through the night, yeah. So
It's been tough. I was sitting. Who's your favourite?
Who's my favourite? I would have to say it would be Mark the Floor Manager.
Nice.
Very good.
Very diplomatic.
Nice little sidestep. Yeah. Oh, he's so proud he's managed to see that one off.
Yeah, so you got to get up pretty early to catch Andy Brassel out, because he doesn't drink.
I was trying to think of some other way of catching you out, Jim, but I'm too slow.
You can improvise.
Who's
that?
Your favourite out of us?
Vish.
Well, I'm glad we've got all of the potential aggro out of the way.
You know what? I think Vish is very much like Mauricio Pochettino. Like his reputation is augmenting in his absence. I mean, that's the extraordinary thing about football coaches in particular, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're out the game, essentially doing nothing, and you become a better coach while you're away.
Yeah, you loom on your sabbatical.
I think Pochettino is sitting there watching a lot of extremely detailed highlights of games, and I don't know. I don't imagine that he is having any time off.
Is he tall enough to loom? I mean, he could have loomed with his Paris Saint-Germain hair when he had that, but I don't think he could loom with
his
current
hair.
Your shadow looms, doesn't it? So I guess it depends where he is in relation to the nearest light source.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, the thing is, I guess it's because I've done the Ramble meets with Arsene Wenger quite recently. And, you know, in shadow, he could pass for Nosferatu, couldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if he's wearing that jacket, which, let's be honest, he is.
Did Nosferatu have difficulty doing up his coat as well?
With those big long fingers, I would imagine he did actually struggle to get his robes on.
Him and Edward Scissorhands both are very similar. Did you get to ask that question, by the way, Jim? I know you were trying to tee it up.
Which question?
Of Arsene Wenger, of whether he's got some better
I did not, no. But you know, I'll get him yet. I'll get him.
One of the world's most thoughtful, erudite football brains.
And Arsene Wenger.
Hey. I have met him once, actually. I met him in a lobby in a hotel in South Africa when we were out there for the World Cup. And I just sort of panicked. I went, are you enjoying the World Cup? And he just went, yes.
But that's what you want, right?
In front of him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't ask closed questions when you meet your heroes.
I was babbling.
I mean, it must have been more difficult for Marcus when he virtually met Sven, because how do you get Sven to say, well, that's harder, isn't it?
Yeah, I was enjoying watching Marcus do that.
Where'd you get water from in an agricultural community? Well...
Yeah. Oh, Sven. That was fun.
Oh, bless him.
But
yes.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that looming absence thing, though. It does happen, doesn't it? I think, you know, Klopp had it for a bit as well. And when there's a big manager out of work, it just puts added pressure on whoever's in a job.
Klopp's
it?
Too hyperactive to make it last for long, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't absolutely. Have the patience, does he?
I don't know. Do you not think that Poch is just like, you know, making spreadsheet upon spreadsheet and trying to design a special football algorithm and all those sorts of things while he's away.
I mean, probably. Or taking a lot of phone calls from Leonardo.
Yeah.
Or him.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, no.
Hold the
no,
line.
Not yet.
Just ring Allegri. Not yet.
Man. We could do like a fan fiction pod about just what Pochettino gets up to in his spare time. We could do a whole day on it.
We could. Or we could put that to the listeners.
I had to write some footballing fiction once.
Did you?
No, not in a Frank Lampard or Steve Bruce type way.
Yeah.
But I had to write a piece for a Turkish magazine on... I just interviewed Fatih Terim at Galatasaray, who I've interviewed a couple of times. And he told me how Bobby Robson... Well, actually, no, that's not correct. I told him how Sir Bobby Robson, when he left Newcastle United, recommended Terim for the job because they knew each other. And for me, I think that would be a really exciting prospect. So anyway, after that interview came out and got a lot of reading around Turkey, some people from this Turkish magazine contacted me and said, would you write a piece on what would have happened if Fatih Terim had managed Newcastle United?
What did you say?
Yes, obviously.
No, yeah. I don't mean, did you write it? I mean, what did you say in the piece? I don't read your Turkish output, I'm afraid.
It went well. He won loads of stuff. Honestly, I can't remember.
Yeah. That actually sounds like a ramble-on feature, doesn't it?
It does.
Do we not already have that as a feature?
Are you suggesting I read it next week for Ramble-on in Turkish?
Can you?
There's a sidestep. I think you've got to work on our Turkish audience.
It might be a little niche. If I may step in there.
Jim, you may not.
Okay. Always trying to bring us back onto the straight and narrow. Speaking of which, there was some Champions League group stage action last night with triumph for two English sides, which is what we're going to tell you about now. Starting with Manchester City away in France, which, by the way, I really enjoy without the sound off. It's very... Allez, 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 it's really enjoyable contributions from the players in French, Marseille side. Anyway, 3-0 to Manchester City before I forget to tell you.
But I would agree that actually it's not just that with Marseille, because the Velodrome, what an incredible stadium.
It
looks amazing without fans as well. Mm. It's such a great place. So the whole Marseille experience without fans is up there with anyone, actually, isn't it?
It's funny because after they were... ragging Paris Saint-Germain after they won there in September.
Yeah.
And some fans of theirs went onto a bridge in Paris and unveiled a big banner that said, "C'est pas la capitale, c'est Marseille, baby." And that's a line from a rap song that was done by a Marseille rapper to specifically rag Paris Saint-Germain.
What does it translate as?
It's not the capital, like as in here's not the capital. It's Marseille, baby. And so what they did is for the next home game, because the ground is empty, when words get written in the seats, they rewrote the phrase in the seats, "C'est Marseille, baby." And then, of course, they didn't win for the next three home games. And I thought, this doesn't really work, does it?
Yeah, well, they didn't look as though they were likely, I don't think, to win at any point last night.
They did not.
No. The goals from Ferran Torres, first of all. The youngster, so they basically played without strikers as well. Yeah. It's something we're going to come on to, I think. So goal from Ferran Torres, lovely stuff. Ilkay Gundogan and Raheem Sterling.
Raheem Sterling.
Oh, hi, Sterling.
Is that just what you call him? Hey, Sterling.
It's over-familiar.
Really over-familiar.
We'll discuss that later. So Raheem Sterling with the third. And afterwards, Pep Guardiola on a tear, I thought. On a joyful... exuberant, antic post-match experience.
In one of his reveries.
Oh, yeah.
He's on some higher, weird plane only he can access.
I actually missed that.
Mad sod. Yeah, I love it, though. But, I mean, it is impressive, isn't it? To win 3-0 away in the Champions League with no strikers is impressive, because he was, you know, talking about how it was difficult for them to sign another striker, because he said effectively they were looking for a striker of a slightly different profile from Aguero and Jesus, but with the same quality, which for someone who's coming in as a third choice striker, even if you've got the money City have got, that's difficult. That's
Cavani?
A difficult position to
a sell. Yeah,
yeah, but his wages though for to be a third choice striker, is he going to do that?
I guess it's another. You know, we can't afford it. Sad tale for Manchester City, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tugs at your heartstrings.
It really does.
Really does.
Really, really does. They've built it from nothing, haven't they? But it is impressive how quickly they've managed to get that to work, though. I mean, obviously, you know, Guardiola knows his squad and he's, you know, he knows the profile of Torres, because I imagine they'll be quite forensic on the players that are coming in and how they're going to gel with everyone else. But, like, you know, it's not like they scraped by, is it?
No, and I don't think really, Ferran, you could have expected to be this good this quickly. I mean, he's been excellent so far in the moments that he's contributed, and you know, you kind of thought of him as a bit of a stash pick and also an opportunity signing, because he was relatively cheap, because he was in a bad place with his relationship with Valencia and there was only a year left on his contract. But he's made a huge contribution already, and it does go back to that Guardiola thing about, you know, you want all your best players to be midfielders, and they certainly are.
Yeah, but if you come in as one of those players, you know, and you are on your game, and you know, you are ready, and it is the right time, it must be a delight to join City, to just have everyone around you just firing on all cylinders like that. To just, like, you know, you're in a triangle, you've got a choice between De Bruyne and Sterling. Must be an absolute joy, and I think we're seeing that with Torres now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it was funny, because there was a lot of talk before the game in France about how Marseille would approach this, because obviously it's an unenviable task playing Manchester City at the best of times. But Marseille came into this game having lost 10 successive games in the Champions League. Obviously, this goes back a number of years, because the last time they were in the group was 7 years ago. But in the press conference before, and you know, we talked about Guardiola's intensity, I have to say, AVB won in the press room. He won in the press room before and after the game, because before the game, he'd said that they said, well, you know, look at how Lyon beat them in the quarterfinals of the Champions League in Lisbon. Have you thought about doing that? Like going to five at the back, because that's what Lyon did. It worked for Leicester at the Etihad. And he said, you can't ask a Marseille manager if he's going to do what Lyon did. We would never copy what Lyon did. Obviously, they went out with five at the back, played as if they'd never seen a football team play five at the back before, gave away that early goal to Ferran Torres. And, like, you know, Manchester City were well worth their win and more. But the last thing you can be doing is giving away goals like that to Manchester City. And afterwards, what was really amusing is that Villas-Boas kind of sidestepped the blame for that by saying, at Marseille, you know, if Marseille had lots of money, maybe Pep Guardiola would be the coach and you'd be playing brilliant football. But as it is, you've got AVB and these sort of tactics.
Speaking about himself in the third person.
Those were words. Well, it's a great acronym. But, you know, I mean,
what's your middle name, Victor? AVB.
I'm going to change it to that. I'm going to change it.
Depol's really cheap, apparently. It's like 15 quid. Let's get it done now.
Yeah.
Sign up to the Patreon and
we'll change Andy's name.
You're in for it, aren't you? Sorry, yeah, I'm not saying
I'm
this upturn.
I'm in for that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Great. It's a good acronym. And always good to see André Villas-Boas just, you know, involved in and around football, no longer driving rally cars or whatever it is. He does look a bit, though. Did you feel he looks a bit like he's done one ski season too many?
That was Mourinho in his last season at Real Madrid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you get too deep on the leisure wear, it's a slippery slope, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just go back to the tight suit.
Yeah,
I felt a lot more comfortable with him when he was
fit anymore.
They can afford tailors.
He's still in his early 40s.
You can dress in a way that you know accentuate certain things. But if you're AVB and you're Jose Mourinho, you can afford to pay a man to make you look good on the touchline.
I agree. I felt a lot more comfortable when he was in a Reservoir Dog suit and slapping Fernando Torres on the bum. Fernando Torres probably didn't feel that comfortable.
AVB, what are you like? Pep Guardiola also on his Reverie said that Kyle Walker was playing the best football that he has in the 4 or 5 years that they've worked together, which I mean, I think is right, but I don't know why he was thinking about it last night particularly, because as far as I could tell, Marseille had one shot on target. Maybe because Kyle Walker was playing so amazingly, I didn't even notice it. Mm. But it felt as though he wasn't being stretched in any way.
I think if you try and figure out why Pep Guardiola says anything in one of his post-match Reveries, like that way madness lies, just let him get on with it. Just like, he'd be talking about like the way Gundogan puts his studs in like next week. Just leave him to it.
Until you got to the studs bit, I was very much enjoying you placing Guardiola in a Shakespearean context.
I mean, he is, isn't he?
Maybe he could give his press conferences from the Globe in the future.
Yeah, in iambic pentameter.
Support the arts in iambic pentameter. That'd be great.
I thought he already did, to be honest, but maybe that's by accident.
And how do you fit guys when he's doing his passive-aggressive thing into iambic pentameter? Yeah. That's a question.
Iago Mourinho.
Here's my latest sonnet. It's called Guys, I'm So Happy.
The image of him standing up on that stage of the Globe is one that's going to stay with me for a while. That's a great crossover.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the arts deserve support at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a bard fraud. Let's move on.
Hey, I'm so happy. Finally, with that, we managed to use that material, eh? Well done, Jim. Should we get to Anfield then? Liverpool 2, Midtjylland 0. I'm really into Midtjylland as a performance. I thought they did well. I mean, let's not forget that. So Liverpool were 1-0 up in the 89th minute when Anders Dreyer had an amazing chance that he, you know, sort of chipped the goalkeeper, but it just hit the side netting, didn't it? I mean, they were under the cosh.
Alisson did really well there, actually.
Did really. And in fact, that was the same guy who had the chance in the second minute, Dreyer.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And again, he came out and dominated the area and saved that too.
Yeah, he did. And I thought they did great, really. And especially as they got a proper old belting off Atalanta early on. And we've seen from the Atalanta-Ajax game that this is going to be a competitive group. Mm. I think,
you know, 2-2 the final score, was that?
Yeah, that's right. Game. And I think when Liverpool look at this and look at the first game against Ajax, I mean, lots of people will look at the performances and think they've been a little bit underwhelming. Of course, I think in terms of performances, you've got to cut teams a bit of slack at the moment because the schedule is mad. I just think you've got to be reasonable. But to be in a position where they can just win the games and keep it tight in this group, I think there's absolutely no arguing with that.
Yeah,
and giving the front three a bit of a rest anyway.
For sure.
I mean, it's a compliment, really, to them that they had to bring those players on eventually. They had to bring on Firmino and Salah. I mean,
Firmino missed a big chance. He's
really,
not really,
really big chance.
Is he out of form, Firmino?
Do we really judge him by his goal scoring, though?
No, we don't, but I wonder
if it's symptomatic.
Time, you should still be putting, you know, relatively simple chances away, even if we don't judge him by that, obviously.
It's
a funny one, isn't it? It's actually quite nice to see Liverpool's alternative front three, isn't it, with Origi, Minamino and Jota starting there.
Oh,
I mean, have the defensive issues that Liverpool have, in theory, had with Van Dijk being out and Fabinho having to step back and now picking up an injury, have they masked how well Jota's doing? I feel like people aren't talking about how well he's just arrived and thrived.
And in two different positions so far, I think it's quite interesting that he's someone who's thought of as backup for the front three.
But they've played him in the middle three,
haven't they? I mean, he's an incredibly versatile footballer. And knowing a bit about him and having followed his career since he's quite young, he's not gone there to be on the bench.
No, he hasn't.
He's gone there thinking, I can get myself into this team. But it's funny, I think if you look backwards at the struggles that Atletico Madrid, say, have had with strikers, give or take a Griezmann, obviously, because we think of Atletico Madrid and these great front players like Forlan and Aguero and players like that. But
and Cavani, sad story.
But the reality is they've bought a few duffers, not least buying back Diego Costa, actually. And he's one that got away. I mean, you know, he did one pre-season with them and then got loaned out and that was it. And, you know, a lot of people questioned him. A lot of people at home in Portugal questioned him when he went to Wolves and backed himself, and he's done an absolutely fantastic job.
Strangely meek celebration, didn't you think, after his goal, Diego Costa? I suppose it was basically Trent Alexander-Arnold's goal and he just sort of tapped it in from a couple of yards out. But his celebration, I don't know if you remember, it was a sort of arms crossed, like the arrogant arms crossed pose, but done in a very like, oh, I'm doing it, like but only for a second.
Like press the wrong button. Did the wrong celebration. It's like, oh, I can't really commit to this. This isn't really what I meant to do.
That happened quite a lot in FIFA 99 on the PlayStation. I remember blocky Alan Shearer doing air guitar by the corner flag.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even do that when he scored that double at Blackburn that time. Yeah. You know where he did those not normal commemorative celebrations that were extremely ill-advised?
He put his arm up, didn't he? Didn't he try and, like, copyright that or something similar at one point? Shearer tried to get that, make that a trademark in some way. It's a shame that Gerard and Shaqiri wasn't around at that time, because the blocky graphics would have made it so realistic.
Having said that, he was really good in the Fantastic Four.
Klopp afterwards paid lots of homage to Midtjylland. Well organised, something like that always gets my full respect. He said it was a bing, 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 bing game, pretty much.
He said that's
a direct quote.
Wow.
Feed into that what you will, but he also said...
Could that be more Klopp?
I feel this is inevitable. Ever since we started talking about players being inappropriately smacked on the bum quite hard.
Maybe that's what he meant. He also said it's a marriage. You have to work together in good and bad times. This is not a bad time, he clarified. It's a tricky time. In these times, you have to fight even harder. Mm.
So what they're going to do about the whole defensive situation? We touched on Fabinho picking up an injury. We don't know how serious it is. So it might. Hopefully, it's only a very, very short-term thing. But
he said hammy, didn't he? But you seem to think, Andy, that it might be a knee thing, which could be much worse.
They were checking his knee on the pitch, but if Klopp thinks it's a hamstring, I mean, that's all I'm saying is that's probably a good thing, because it could have been a lot worse. Mm. So
they play City in, 10 days or something? So it looks as though either way he's not going to be fit for that.
Well, it's tough, isn't it, to imagine him coming back. But I think that they're in a position where they're leaning on him anyway. I mean, they'll miss him in midfield, if nothing else. Right. I mean, you know, if you go back, we've talked about this before, but if you go back like 13, 14 years, in what was it, 2006, 2007, when Chelsea lost the title by a whisker, I think the bit that lost them the title was when John Terry got injured and Essien got moved into the back four. Mm. Not because Essien didn't do a brilliant job as a centre-back,
no,
but because they missed him in midfield. And you know, it's incredible to think, if you go back to the beginning of when Fabinho signed for Liverpool, people were questioning him, saying, oh, he's not in the team. What's the issue? Well, adaptation, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, he's become absolutely integral for them. And, you know, much as he can do a job at centre-back, it's not sustainable to have him there, I don't think.
No.
Mm. So what do you think they do in this situation? Is any sort of conversation about Liverpool having an issue in a certain position moot when you've got James Milner in the squad?
Yes, I think so. I think probably.
I mean, I don't remember seeing him play centre-back, but we know he can play anywhere, right? So maybe is this
the time
for him to complete his, you know, his starting position of every 11 aside from the goalkeeper?
Unfortunately, we never see this because he takes set pieces, but I would love to see him score a Van Dijk-esque headed goal from a corner and then like rip his shirt off to reveal his surprising muscles. A bit like when Ned Flanders is like trimming the bushes and like Homer's like looking over the fence.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to find that James Milner was stacked. And I also wouldn't be surprised to see him.
His face is stacked. That's how stacked it is.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see him like put home a header from his own corner. Like,
yeah, it could be done. Yeah, it could be done.
That's cool.
Only by him.
In the meantime, Reece Williams did a good job on the night. 19 years old, and he now has more Champions League appearances than Premier League. So that's an intriguing way of working up to full fitness and to competing in the team. So yeah, that's the plan that they've got at the moment. We shall see how long Fabinho is out for. And as Klopp said, this is the very last thing we wanted to see.
I mean, it's a baptism of fire, isn't it? But the mood around Liverpool and the togetherness that squad has is makes you think that if anyone can cope with it, then it's them.
Certainly is. All right then, can we cope with the next part of the Football Ramble? Find out after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven Goran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Well,
oh, bless him.
We don't know. It doesn't say on the... I press the button. Don't know if anyone knows. So it doesn't say on the button what who is going to come out.
Also, it's a lucky dip.
It's a lucky dip, yeah.
So you were just drawn to it, some would say.
I was drawn towards it by one of our delightful colleagues. But, I didn't know. So the joy is great. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Andy, Jim and Sven.
You said that like someone who doesn't have English as their first language. That's quite an achievement.
Or someone just flustered by Sven, just by the
idea. Maybe.
Hey, I've long suspected that Sven looks different to women. Do you think there's something to that?
No. He looks differently at women, that's for sure. A bit of miming from Jim there. Beautiful stuff. that's painted a right picture in my mind. Okay, Gregor Wappler has... Wappler? Write in. Tell us how we pronounce your name. Thanks for emailing. He says, "Hi, Ramblers. Whilst decorating my house, I've saved up and binged episodes of the last few weeks' worth of The Ramble. That is a very sensible thing to do, Gregor. Thank you. I thought I'd email in on the subject of mad tactics employed at grassroots level and the coaches who take it... too far. When I was at uni, I helped out coaching in my brother's under 13's summer team. Our plan was to try and play nice, attractive football. However, if this wasn't going to plan, we had a secret weapon, a centre back with an absolute rocket of a shot on him. If the team was struggling, the boys would work the ball to him around the halfway line and 7 times out of 10 would smash the ball into the back of the net. What a legend. Once, me and my team came up against my old history teacher who fancied himself a bit of an under-13s Guardiola. They even had the tiny centre forward. With the game coming to a close at 1-1 and the consistent shouts from my former teacher turned nemesis of short and keep the triangles ringing in my ear, the ball broke for a corner to our boys. The ball bounced about the box and broke to the centre-back, who rifled it into the area where it bounced around a bit to be trundled over the line by our striker to give us the 2-1 win. Everyone was delighted, apart from Captain History, who was muttering about having the game stolen from his team. Oh, P.S. I'm a bald man. Does Vish want to be the top of my head's agent? Thanks for that, Gregor. A lot to chew over, especially in the last couple of lines there, but thanks for emailing in with that.
Well, I'm surprised that that's gained some traction so quickly. And I was talking on the show yesterday about using bald men's heads as advertising space.
You're surprised after 12 years that you're surprised?
Yeah, you're right, actually. I shouldn't be surprised, should I? But yeah, I mean, keep it coming in. It seems like it could be quite a lucrative sideline for Vish. But trends move in football, don't they? And then the delusions of coaches working at those levels lower down with kids also move with them. So I'd imagine it's a lot of really, really high pressing front threes at the moment within the kids' game. Just these knackered kids, too small to actually be able to enable it. Getting absolutely bollocked because they're not Sadio Mane. Love it.
You have frontline experience of little kids being taught to do incredibly technical things, don't you, Andy?
I suppose, yeah.
More in the basketball arena than in football.
Yeah, that is true. But it's kind of hard to relate because he knows more about basketball than me. So,
right. Whereas no one knows more about football than you. So, yeah. I mean, it's not probably that hard to get a tiny centre forward, is it, if you're coaching a bunch of under-13s? Mm. Or, actually, no, probably growth spurts are happening around then, aren't they? I don't know.
I tell you, the best year I had in schoolboy football was when I was about 13, so I grew 8 inches in a year.
Wow.
Bloody hell.
It was incredible. I could just batter other kids out of the way. It was fantastic.
Clip that! We just batter kids out.
Well, I was a kid.
Sure.
That's not going to come across in the clip, though, is it?
So. No one's counting. Yes, don't. That's, yeah, we can rephrase that later. Thank you for the insight, Andy. Email us show@footballramble.com. We love getting your emails. You can also tweet us at Football Ramble. Just email show@footballramble.com. Right now, show Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke. All my kids can read it out. Well done. Quite an interesting thing has come from the FA yesterday afternoon, I think it was, about a diversity code. They said the Football Association has today launched the Football Leadership Diversity Code to drive diversity and inclusion across English football, with over 40 clubs across the Premier League, etc., all the other leagues, have committed to tackle inequality across senior leadership positions, which sounds, broadly speaking, like a pretty good thing. Teams like Manchester United, City, Leicester, a lot of the big ones, and then also further down the Football League, Cambridge United, Lewis as well. So they've signed up both their men's and women's teams to this, and the England national team has also committed to it. The idea is basically that in these senior leadership positions, for example, there's a percentage of new hires that are going to be, for example, Black, Asian or mixed heritage or female. So 30% of new leadership hires will be female. That's the idea. And then in the coaching side of things, in the men's professional clubs, 25% of new hires will be BAME. What do we make of this? I broadly think it's a good idea that this conversation has been turned into something a bit more concrete, but equally it doesn't seem that it has to be that concrete.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's not actually that concrete. As I understand it, these are just recommendations, right? So it's if somebody doesn't adhere to this, they're not going to be, there's not going to be any sort of repercussions for it. And I suppose as well, like, it is difficult to impose quotas as well, and not necessarily, that's not always going to work, I suppose. But I think, you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction, and it's a conversation that needs to be constantly had and constantly addressed and constantly reviewed. And I think, you know, in football, people want to be as efficient as possible, right? And I think the current mode, which is just the same, pale, male, stale, is inefficient. It's like building an orchestra and just mostly using the oboe. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be the best possible combination that you need to move your institution forward. So even in a quite sort of dispassionate sense like that, it's kind of it is. We are probably hopefully coming to the end of the time where you look at a board of directors and it is just old white men. So I hopefully this will be something that will help kind of make that a bit more diverse in the future. It's quite interesting. Comments related to Jermaine Defoe recently, who was apparently saying he's just scored his, what was it, 300 league goal?
Yeah.
Or career goal. And he's unsure about whether he's going to sort of look into coaching because he doesn't know if there will be a position for him. And like, it's Jermaine Defoe. You know, someone who's done so much and achieved so much. And
but he immediately after this, do you know this? He immediately after this said that actually he was thinking that this shows that there is a pathway.
Yeah, oh, great, good.
Yeah, him specifically.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he said, you know, it's a big statement. People like myself and other black players, it shows there are forward steps going in the right direction. Why wouldn't you want to get into management?
Well,
coaching?
There you go.
So, I mean, it's not, obviously, it's not like here was a problem and they've instantly solved it.
No.
But at least if you can make it seem like there's a pathway.
It's a start.
Yeah, if he
and
feels
that's all
way.
It is. It's just a start.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think that needs to be acknowledged. But I think what's the best bit about it is the target of the 15% in the new executive jobs.
Mm.
That is something that will really change it. Because, yes, it would be great if there were a more mixed base of coaches, but you know they're still employees. You know, I think when you've got decision makers who are more diverse at the top of the game, that's something that's really going to make a difference to how the game's run.
I liked how they said in the statement, the aim is to move away from recruitment practices focused on personal networks, which is a long-standing challenge across football and has limited the diversity in leadership across the game.
It is really difficult in football, though, because it's easy to forget that football's a really small community, isn't it?
Yeah. And people, and I mean, in all walks of life and jobs, people know someone and put in a good word for them. And
it's just sort of how we function as humans, isn't it? So it's a difficult thing when these things are so entrenched to go, actually, there's a problem here and to do something about it. So this is, you know, this is very, very welcome, I think.
I thought it's quite interesting that Southampton have not committed to it yet.
Yeah, but aren't they... the reasoning for that is that there's the Premier League have something else in place, don't they? Is that right? And they're waiting to see how that pans out. Because
yeah.
I think they're committed to something similar elsewhere, so they want to see how those things join up.
Yeah, and I think that's actually really important. I mean, we saw that with QPR not taking the knee and Les Ferdinand's response to that, didn't we? I think it is quite important, not just for Southampton to be like told off or torn out, but just some sort of understanding of the way they're looking at it, and rather than just, you know, just saying yes, we're in, you know, you want to see some action and you want to see some engagement with the principals and some sort of commitment to implementing those, right?
That's a really interesting point, isn't it? Because I actually am in two minds about it, because obviously I think it's, as I said at the beginning, I think it's important that we're talking about these sort of issues, and it's the fact that they seem aware at least of the problem is one important step, isn't it? But then equally, because these are just like suggestions, there's no kind of, you're not signing up to enforce this in any way. It could, if you're looking at it really cynically, it could be that you sign up to it and it shows you have, and then you just don't do it.
Yeah.
But you've signed up to it, so people know you mean to be good.
Well, I guess that's going to be, you know, that will be proven on a case by case basis, won't it? And that will happen over time. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. All right then. And if Jermaine Defoe's going to change, you know, and Tyrone Mings was saying as well, he's looking at a path into management as well. That's, I guess, broadly speaking, making people feel more welcome is a key point of anything.
Absolutely. I mean, the coaches we'll have lost in the past.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, and from a female perspective, I always wonder about that as well. It just, you know, if you're just halving your talent pool and then halving
absolutely,
it again, you're obviously not.
It's like, ridiculous.
If you only ever hired, I don't know.
But I think this is really important that it should be seen as not just coaches, that the representation in the game goes beyond that, goes higher than that. I think that is important.
Now, guys, as we know, we've got On the Continent to come tomorrow, but we do have a bit of semi-breaking European football news, which we did want to dig our little I was going to say heels, but I don't mean that. Our teeth, dig our teeth into, because Josep Bartomeu, I can announce, this is him from the horse's mouth itself. I can announce some extraordinary news. Yesterday, we accepted a proposal to participate in a future European Super League, which would guarantee the future financial sustainability of the club. And we have accepted the Club World Cup format. And, oh, I'm resigning, kind of.
Yeah, then he dropped the mic, right?
What happened?
But not on purpose, if you know Bartomeu.
Yeah. This is onto his foot.
Yeah.
After all of these rumblings related to Lionel Messi, yes, the chairman and the board of Barcelona stood down in one fell swoop yesterday off the back of what looked like it would be, they don't call it that there, do they, but a vote of no confidence effectively was being built up over the last few weeks, and it looks as though they kind of jumped before they could be pushed.
Well, that's right, and I went to the general counsel of the club, Bartomeu and his board, and tried to put off the vote of no confidence.
And they had it all counted again, didn't they?
They tried to. They were saying protect the safety of the members. They didn't want everyone to come out and vote and take part in this vote of no this motion of no confidence. It's like, hang on. So you don't want people to come out for this, but you were trying to get the sign off for 35,000 people to come to the ground for the game against Ferencvaros. Interesting. And so not being able to postpone it seemed to be the end. But Bartomeu is the original mangy cat who has had nine lives. I mean, how he's held on this long has been absolutely extraordinary. Mm. And it's very much in character that he dropped something like the Super League thing there. And I think it just shows everything that the Super League's about. Well, obviously, Javier Tebas has come in and said, well, you know, this just shows that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Basically.
Confirms his ignorance about the football industry.
I mean, Javier Tebas would say that, but...
Well, he owns the football industry, doesn't he?
Yeah, obviously.
He's a La Liga president.
He doesn't own Neymar anymore. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting thing is, though, that it's sort of... It's just the ultimate thing against the European Super League. A, that someone like Bartomeu would want to sign up to it. And B, that he's saying, as you were saying, Kate, when he talked about securing the future of Barcelona, the only way we cannot fall into this absolute financial abyss is by playing Manchester United and Real Madrid every week.
And Josep, how did we get into this financial abyss? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that is the question. Of course, he has been doing the equivalent of like sort of prizing the family silver away over the last little while. Just after that Ferencváros game, they announced a number of new contract renewals, one of whom was Gerard Piqué, who's had his contract extended till 2024, which, you know, Piqué is one of the greatest players of Barcelona's modern times. Mm. But it's extremely optimistic to think that he's got 4 years left in the tank, unless a couple of those years are going to be his president, which I wouldn't completely rule out. I
mean, it seems as though he just used it to say how shitty Barcelona were. Weird thing about that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was very on a level with Messi.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible that you get a player to stay. And they've got two of the most legendary players of the clubs, not just modern history, but history full stop, to stay. And yet, they've turned it into a thing where the supporters probably feel worse afterwards.
I mean, after the Bayern game, after the 8-2, it's a unique set of circumstances. But Piqué was offering to quit and was then being linked to Fulham. But that wasn't that long ago. And
I thought that was just Marcus's wicked contract. Whispers.
No. It could well be, actually. Maybe he was leaking that to the press. But yeah, it's pretty spectacular, isn't it? Everything that's happening at Barcelona at the moment. It has been all summer as well. But one of the interesting things he's put in there, I keep forgetting about this Club World Cup thing.
So that's very offensive. How are people supposed to be champions of the world without it?
Yeah, but I don't like... Because of all this talk about the European Premier League, and we don't know what's going to happen with the Champions League if that comes in. Are we going to potentially have a summer where we have the Champions League, the European Premier League, and then the Club World Cup after that?
I mean,
it's going to be too much, and it's going to be rubbish.
Jim, it is absolutely extraordinary, I think, that the one thing we should have learned from post-pandemic football is there is too much of it.
Yeah. And now they're trying to stuff more into it.
No, it's we'll pile more on.
I imagine the European Super League is intended to just replace all of the leagues of all of the other countries, so there won't actually be that much football after all.
I hope not.
No Championship, no Premier League, League One and Two.
Do you want Arsenal to cling on and win the Premier League?
Well, if everyone else goes Premier out of it, maybe we'll have a chance. I don't know, we'd still mess it up.
That's the spirit, mate. You sound like you're not going to be signing up to this newly launched Hector card.
I will be signing up to the Hector card, if they call it a Hector card. But otherwise, I'm not sure.
Arsenal have launched a new loyalty point. It sounds like a Boots card or like I don't know what the point of it is. But if you win enough points as an Arsenal fan, you can buy special Arsenal experiences. You get more Arsenal.
Money can't buy experiences. I think it's quite a smart way of just bringing in a bit of extra revenue, actually, which every club needs to be looking at the moment. So it is effectively like a Hector card, where if you spend with certain organisations, you get points on your Hector card, and then, I don't know, you get to hang out with Gunnosaurus for a day or whatever. I don't know what the things are yet, but, you know, clubs have got to be clever, haven't they, with money?
And so you're buying into this?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think this is the, you know, this is the final frontier, the real commercialisation moment where Jim Campbell is out. It's not now.
Sky Sports, Kate Mason. Have you not noticed that happened a long time ago?
Ooh, burn. yes, I am in charge of football. I thought you'd never realise, but it's out there now. Okay, well, do we think Bartomeu is actually going, or is this just another stage in the negotiations of him trying?
He's actually going, and what's so important is that the board are going as well. You know, this is not like Trump leaving and Pence taking over. So hopefully for Barcelona, it will be a new start. But like I said, I think he's left quite a lot of financial skeletons in the closet. I think it might very well get worse before it gets better. And it's interesting, you look at the deals that have been signed recently, they're sort of backloaded. So it's like, well, we want to offer you this new contract worth X million. We can only afford to pay you this amount now. So it won't be that much in the first year, but down the line.
When your value is less, we'll pay you more, effectively.
Yes.
Do you think Messi will just step up as president now?
Yeah, player manager president.
It might just be the best thing for everyone involved.
He's too meek.
What?
Yeah, he's too meek.
Mm. Are you serious? I thought he was supposed to be terrifying.
Well, the people are terrified of him, but I think that's because of their perception of him more than the actuality of him. So he wouldn't want to be president. It has to be Piqué if you're talking about a current player. And he's always set himself up for that.
Yeah.
Multilingual, charming, intelligent.
He runs
real
a tennis
leader,
event.
Strong sense of Catalan identity, which is something that a lot of a local Barcelona fans feel has been lost. Mm. All those things are important.
And the tennis, obviously. He can run things. I'm joking. His focus is pretty, you know, pretty much on Barcelona, as we well know. And for more chat on this, and total focus on perhaps on Barcelona, we take on Juventus in the Champions League tonight, and a roundup of all the biggest stories from another round of midweek European football. Please do listen to tomorrow's episode of On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents. Who is with you, Andy?
It is Dotton, as always, and David Cartledge. For a bit of that Spanish flavour.
Oh, right. There's going to be plenty of Spanish flavour in there. And tomorrow's show on the Football Ramble, it is Marcus. You again, Andy, showing up. Thanks very much for that.
It's not me never going home from BT, it's me never going home from here.
I like that. And it's also going to be Pete as well. Lovely to see you guys today. Have you had a nice time, Andy?
Delightful.
What about you, Jim?
It gets me out of the house, doesn't it?
That is important, particularly in pandemic Britain. Look after yourself, guys. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.